Well, this morning we have the joy of having a guest preacher with us this morning. He's my friend Chris French. Chris, come on up. Chris is a pastor at another eco church like ours, a Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians in Houston. And we have a lot in common, although one thing we don't have in common is our height. And I actually don't know how long you've been in Houston, but I'm going to guess you like country music. Kind of. Okay, that's an acceptable answer. Kind of, that works. So, yeah, so we're a little opposite there. Maybe that's okay. Anyway, so glad to have you here. Chris is up with his wife visiting some friends in the area, and we were able to work it out for him to be with us here this morning. This is awesome. I am so excited and just really super glad for all of us. So I want to pray for you, and then we'll let you dive in. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the gifts that you have blessed Pastor Chris with. May you just work through him this morning. You've already worked in his life and in this message that he's crafted. But Lord, now speak to us through these words, through the passage, through the message, that it might draw us into a deeper relationship with you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And all the church said together, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Brian. So yeah, Brian and I had the pleasure 2-3 years ago to participate in a denominational meeting of pastors, a cohort, for about a year and a half or so, and using technology. Some of that was by Zoom, and then we had the opportunity to come together in a couple different times. And so it's great to be here. And Brian's church heard so much about you, and thank you for the warm welcome. You are going against what I'm told is something called the Seattle Freeze. You heard that? You guys, so pardon me, I'm originally from California, so you'll maybe hear me say you guys and you all, because I'm a confused Texan Californian, and but it's been great to be here with you, and everyone's been so gracious to us this morning and welcoming us. We are here, and my wife's here with me, and we have three daughters, teenage daughters as well, and two of them are studying in their different subjects in Waco, Texas, and Baylor. And then we have a teenage daughter, a sophomore, who's in high school. And when Brian and I started talking, and it's been 17 years that I've been in Houston at Grace Presbyterian Church, and it went by like that. It's just been such a thrill. And when Brian and I started talking about I'd be in the area to be able to preach and trying to figure out what we do, and I knew you guys were in this sermon series on encouragement. And so when I think of this idea of encouragement, I kind of have a go-to passage, and that's in 2 Corinthians 1, and that's what we're going to turn today. And I would hope this to bring a word of encouragement to you to keep on. And as Rob prayed in this prayer, we can look around the world and see that there's suffering, and there's difficulty, and there's trouble, and there's affliction, and there's persecution, all this stuff that just, aren't you glad I just shared all how hard and the world is to live in. But there is a word of encouragement from God's word for us this morning, and it comes from this letter that Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and it's still applicable to us as individuals, as a community, and in places around the world. What is God calling us to? And as I thought about that, this idea is that we're to lean in. That's what encouragement is about, is to lean into the difficult places, to lean into God so that we can be there for other folks, be the kinds of people that God created us and called us to be for his world. And so this morning, you know, I don't know what you walk in the door with. I don't know your past and some difficulties and troubles that you may have had, but I know one thing. There's something that probably you've walked through with someone else or your own family. For me, it was being a 12-year-old boy and my family being uprooted when my father passed away. And as a 12-year-old, I had to figure out, who do I turn to? Where do I go? What is God doing in the midst of this? And I'm thankful for those that leaned in and came alongside of me and encouraged me in ways that are still profound for me this day, have shaped who I am, shaped how I follow Christ, shaped how I pastor. And so whatever that looks like for you, I hope these words from 1 Corinthians 3 will be words that you lean into that will help you to lean in to those difficulties. So let me read for us from 2 Corinthians 1. And I forgot my glasses, so here we go. starting in verse 3, and we're going to read through verse 7. So hear God's word for us this morning. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in the sufferings, so also we share in our comforts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May I pray for us. God, we do pray as we've heard your words spoken. God, that you would make us attentive to your spirit and what you would have us not only just take in as a nice piece of information, but it would have a way to move from our minds to our hearts to our hands in the ways that we live as disciples in those places where we do indeed live, work, and play. So God, we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. And so as we look at this text, I want to encourage you. There's an option, a decision, I think, as we hear these words, to lean in, as I've described, or to say, you know what, that situation is just too painful. That situation is too difficult. That situation is just messy. I'm just going to step back. And that's not the posture or the way that God's calling us. I think this passage is saying step in. Step into it and see what God would have for us. And so I hope that's what you'll do today. And so as we look at this passage, there's kind of three movements that I'd love to talk about in this passage and share with us this morning. The first one is this, it's our posture. You know, your posture, how you stand up nice and tall, but we'll talk about our posture and what it means to lean in. And the second is we see God's purpose in this passage for his people and how we're to live our lives following him. And the third is our perspective. Okay, and so the first one is, as we look at verse 3, is this posture of praise. And Paul, who we know is, if you know a little bit about Paul, he's kind of an expert on affliction and danger and persecution, and we'll get to that a little bit. But he chooses this posture of praise before God. And that's exactly what it starts in verse 3 after he gets to this pretty standard greeting that he writes through all his letters. In 3 and 4, it's this posture of praise. He says, praise God, bless God. And he does this in two ways. He says to praise God for who he is. And he says, praise God for what he's done. And so he says, praise God for what who he is. He's the Father of Jesus Christ. He's the Father of compassion. He's the God of all comfort. Who God is, praise be to God. Bless God in the midst of his own difficulties and tragedies and challenges. But he also goes on to say, praise God for what God has done. And he says, praise God because he comforts us. And then he also says he enables us to be the kind of people that comfort others. And I think in the midst of difficulty, this posture before God of praise, of looking up and praising, remembering who God is and what he has done. And it's this beautiful statement, right, that he says, he's the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And this idea of why he says Father is, for a Jewish believer at the time that came from that tradition, when you saw Father, you would understand that he's talking about the source, the originator, the author, where something has come from. And so he says, as the Father of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus comes from the Father. But then he adds this idea that all this, the God of all comfort, that's the Father of compassion. This source of compassion comes from God as well. And it's, I like to think of it like this, is being in the area that we are. And I got to see Rainier, as you say and describe, as, oh, the mountain came out today, right? The mountain showed itself to us today. And you think of that snowpack that's on there year-round, and at certain points it melts. And I don't know the geography well enough, but just go with me. But the concept is true anywhere, right? Is that snow melts. It becomes these little trickles that form these little tributaries. And those tributaries and little streams flow into rivers. The source of that river somewhere down that flows into the ocean would be up at the top of the mountain. And that's what he's saying. God, our Father, is the source of this compassion. He's the source of all comfort. And it's this posture, remember, wow, I stand before the Father of all. That's how I can move forward. That's how I can lean in. It says, in our translation, it says compassion, but really there's a nuance here that this is God's mercy. And if you've been around the church a little bit and studied, you know this idea of mercy is really not getting what we really deserve. As folks that are far from God and we mess up all the time, I believe God holds back a lot of what we actually should get. And in fact, he's given us grace in Jesus Christ to get something we can't earn or deserve, do anything for. This is the God who's merciful on his compassion. And I think it's important also, there's a word in there, it's all. And it's, we're tempted to go over that word all and not think much about it. But it's kind of this big deal, right? No, this is the God of all comfort. From wherever it comes from God, but however you receive it, directly from God and God's Spirit, from studying Scripture or in prayer, or from Christian community, from God's people. It's all comfort that comes from God. So you might be thinking, great, Chris, this is nice, but what is comfort? Is it this nice Hallmark thought, you know, when someone sends us a sympathy card? We have an idea of kind of what comfort is. But it's not captured solely in the word comfort. There's so much more, such a rich word. There's consolation. There's this solace. There's this encouragement that comes from this word comfort. And in fact, in Scripture, and when you dig a little bit and do some study on this passage and look at this word, it's a combination word of two words that come together that means something like this: to be called alongside someone to help. To come alongside someone, to be called to come alongside and be a person of help. It's that idea of standing shoulder to shoulder with someone, sitting on the curb when they're down and out and they don't know what to do with their life, and being present with them alongside, feeling God's call to be with that person that's going through a difficulty. And that's what God's saying. This is what I've done in Jesus Christ for you. I'm the source of this for you to do this for others as well. And so it's this idea even in Scripture when Jesus talks about in John about sending the Holy Spirit, who's an advocate, a helper. It's actually the same word. And so do you see this magnificent thing that God's doing, saying, hey, I want to send you just like I sent my son to meet your ultimate need. This is the gospel. Right, this, I walked in, I love this, Emmanuel. Remember what Emmanuel means from Isaiah? It says, it means that God with us. And for me, I walk in, I'm like, yes, that's what come alongside is. It's God with us in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to meet our most desperate need for comfort. The comfort and the mercy that we receive from Christ to meet our greatest need, that we're lost sinners in need of a Savior. And God does that for us. And then the exciting thing is, I want you to be those kinds of people. It's an important word to Paul. In 2 Corinthians, in this part of the letter to the church in Corinth, the verb appears 18 times. It's an important word. In fact, actually, the noun appears 11 more times. This is an important piece to this relationship and what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth. And I suspect that God's using this letter, part of his word to us, to understand what it means as well. You know, I don't think God's just a God of sympathy where he says, it's got to be okay, and maybe gives us a piece of chocolate to distract us from something that's really difficult and challenging. Oh, God is so much more in his comfort. You think of passages in Scripture where it talks about who God is and what God has done. And I go to Psalm 23. Right? Even when you walk through the shadow of death, one of the darkest, most difficult places in your life, What does it say? I, as a good shepherd, will be with you. In other places in Scripture, in Hebrews and in the Old Testament, also says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the God who's come alongside of us to comfort us, to walk with us, to lean in, and calling us to do the same. In Psalm 34, says that God is close or near to the brokenhearted. Man, isn't this the message that the world needs? And all the brokenness and division and difficulty and trying to understand how to talk about or pray about what's happening in Israel and Gaza right now, and this messiness of the human world. But we're to lean in to those messy places, those difficult places. And that's what Paul has done over and over again. And continues in verse 4. And again, the word all comes again, this time associated with troubles, because it's all comfort and all troubles. Any comfort that you can give in any situation, any trouble. And for Paul, he, again, we talked about, he knows trouble like more than anyone I could probably even imagine. And Scripture's full of this in 2 Corinthians. It talks about some of the things that he's faced. And 2 Corinthians 11, it gives this, I call it a laundry list. Maybe that's not a right way to talk about what Paul actually experienced. But it feels like, I'm like, man, this guy, wow. 5 times I received 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. He just keeps going on and on. And I was in danger of from false believers. I know hunger. I know thirst. I face daily pressure. And it goes on and on. And talks about he's a thorn in his side. He has some physical ailment, suffering that we're not sure what is, but he has one that suffered. And then he writes this beautiful thing in 1 Timothy 4, because he talks about he's been deserted. And he says to this, everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength. He knows the Lord has come alongside of him to comfort and strengthen him in the midst of even people deserting him. Paul's affliction is much more than maybe a challenging time. He's being persecuted for his faith. And he's being persecuted and being said, hey, maybe you're not really a real apostle because look at all this suffering. And Paul says, nope. He flips the table. And he says that because of this qualifies me. And this is God's using this to prepare me for the work that he has called me to. You know, Scripture doesn't ever promise that there will escape and won't have difficulty and tragedy and problems. And that's sometimes hard to hear because we're like, we want a God that keeps us safe and wants to keep us comfortable, not comfort us, comfortable. But I do know this, Scripture over and over again, and true of here, reminds us that we will never be alone in the midst of it. And it's just such a beautiful expression of what God's done. And so our posture is to receive all that God has done. This posture of remembering and acknowledging who God is, and the posture of receiving what God's done, this comfort that he wants to give us. And then we get to this next part, the second part of verse 4, and we see God's purpose. And what I love about this is in this passage, I just love this, the so that is so obvious. The so that is the reason, the results, the purpose of what God's done for us in comforting us and coming alongside of us in our troubles and coming alongside of us in Jesus Christ. It's the so that his people, the church, can go out and do the same. And so he says, so that we can comfort. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in elementary school and, I was get antsy and I didn't use the restroom at lunch or recess or break time, and I'd raise my hand, teacher, 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 teacher call on me, and you know how this goes. As a little elementary school kid, you'd ask politely, Miss So-and-so, can I use the bathroom? And did you have this experience? And the teacher would come back kind of, sarcastic and say, I don't know, Chris, can you? Right? You have this experience? What's beautiful about this experience and what Paul says here is so that we can. God's saying, hey, you can because I'm enabled you to. not because you think you can or you don't think you can. Nope, it's so that you can. I've done this. You've received what I've done for you so that you are able to. And so God enables us to do what he's calling us to do in the world and with each other, to come alongside, to lean in. See, the result really is not about us. It's about this dependence on God to be able to do what he's called us to. And we see that so clearly in Paul and his life and his words. So you might think, well, how do we receive God's comfort? I would say kind of in two ways. The direct way we think, you know, engaging scripture, right? How do we hear God? How we're attentive to God's spirit to say, here's what I'm saying to you through my word and scripture. It's the kind of prayer that takes this posture of prayer, maybe practices different prayers than, you know, the prayers that we just talk at God, but being receptive to hear God and through some of our spiritual practices. The second one is this indirect, and this is where we come in as a Christian community, as a congregation, as a community of believers, where you get to comfort each other. The comfort doesn't come from us. It flows from God, the source, the Father, to us. And he wants us to be receivers and transmitters. He wants us to be the pitcher in which he pours out his comfort, and we go over and pour out that pitcher of comfort into the life of someone else. Another way of thinking about this imagery would be in biblical times, they'd have cisterns where they would hold water and collect water in a container or a channel where all this comfort flows into us and out of us, because that's what God designed. And so maybe you're more of a math type of person, so let me give you a math imagery of this. It's this. It's suffering plus God's comfort. Do you know what it equals? Comfort for others. Suffering plus God's comfort equals comfort for others. And a story that helps illustrate this so beautifully happened in the life of this woman named Rosemary Smith. Unfortunately, one night she received notification that her two teenage sons had died in a tragic car accident. And like most mothers, just full of grief and loss, and just her soul is suffering at the loss of her children. And as time goes on, she decided to start a ministry called Fellow Travelers. And this ministry entails her looking through, doing searches online in the area in which she lived, in the obituaries. And she would scour those obituaries for children who had died. She would find as much contact information as she could, and she'd send them a package that was filled with books on how to navigate grief of a child, with a music that was encouraging and notes that were encouraging to help people keep going on, keep going. And what I heard is at some point in this ministry, she was getting 50 emails a day from people asking for these packages to be sent to ones that are going through the tragedy of the loss of a child. That is leaning in. That's taking this comfort plus your suffering. It equals the comfort of others in the way which God designed for us to live and help and lean into times of other people's difficulties. And that's true of my own life. It happened for a friend and a mentor, Jeff Argen, who his father walked out of his family when he was a child and through divorce. And years later, Jeff told me, Chris, I vowed to find young men who did not have a father and to father them and mentor them. And Jeff did that on his Father's Day with two young children. He called me, the son, the child without a father who died, and asked me to go play golf on his Father's Day. That's coming alongside someone. That's taking what you've received from God and letting it flow through you onto somebody else. And in verse 5, Paul continues, and we get to what I would call our perspective. This attitude or this perspective we have in the midst of walking through difficulty and tragedy that keeps us going in those challenging times. And the first perspective is our attitude towards it all. And Paul has this beautiful ways of saying these words, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also, it's like his voice goes up, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. He's naming the fact that in his persecution and suffering, yes, my association with Jesus Christ is going to include some suffering. But he says also the comfort abounds, it's abundant through Christ. And so having this attitude, this perspective on it, helps him to keep going and helps us to keep going and strive towards that hope that comes in the midst of tragedy. The second part of our perspective is this, and Paul continues, I love this verse, verse 6, it says, if you're distressed, if you're comforted, he says, it's for your comfort, it's for your salvation. And this word distressed really is almost the nuance of smashing grapes, of having pressure. And so Paul, if he was here with us and saying, he's like, it's as if I'm being squashed like a grape for your comfort, for your salvation, for your deliverance, that you'd be able to keep going. And I'm willing to be squashed like a grape under the foot and pressure because it's so worth it to see you thrive and walk through this difficult time. And this has what Paul says, and this is why he has this attitude, this perspective, is it allows him to keep going because he sees, and what he says is when we go through times like this, it produces something. It has an effect on us, and it develops in us the spiritual maturity that we can be steadfast and constant. We can endure, we can sustain through these times. And for Paul, starting with praise, shaped his attitude, his perspective, to be able to keep on going in the midst of it. And finally, in verse 7, he talks about, I think, his perspective towards others. And he has this perspective, this attitude that's filled with hope. Out of his own perspective, he can look at others that are going through difficulty time, a death of a loved one, the tragic death of Rosemary's kids. Whatever you're facing or have faced, Paul knew that. And he's like, I can have a hope in the midst of that because of who God is and what God has done. As I remember and acknowledge that, I can see his purpose being lived out in me, that God's chosen to include us in there. And it talks about that we share in these sufferings, and we so also share in our comforts. This isn't just like a, let me share my sandwich with you at lunch, you know, when you're in school. This is, we're partners. We're partakers together in this goodness of what God's doing in the midst of us in a difficult time. And so I just wonder for you, as you sit there and you're thinking, well, you know, how does this apply to me? I would just invite you to consider this quote as I close us up and wrap us up. It's been a quote that I've referred to for many years. It says this, the person who has experienced one kind of affliction, trouble, suffering, difficulty, tragedy, is particularly qualified to console, to comfort, to lean into the difficulty with others in the same in all circumstances. So I don't know what it is for you, but I'm going to decide to lean in and take the comfort I've received as a 12-year-old kid when my father passed away that came directly and indirectly through the body of the church. And I'm going to choose to figure out how to do that in the lives of others. Not because I'm better than anyone else or not because I'm a pastor, but because simply I'm with you, just a disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is what he calls us to be his people. And so here's the invitation for you is to ponder as we go into close this time in prayers. Who is God inviting you out of your own experience to take that comfort you've received? And who are you going to come alongside, sit down next to you, put your arm around them, and be that person that says, I'm in this with you. Look what God has done. Let's keep moving forward. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the words that Paul penned to Christians so many years ago, but God, that they're words that are applicable to us as individuals, as a community, and in places that we look around the world. God, we're going to entrust that you'll place someone on our hearts and our minds that you are calling us to, that you're leading us to be the kind of person that leans in and is present to encourage, to help others lean into your goodness and the comfort that you so easily just flows from you. May it flow through us. May it flow through your word. May it flow through prayers that we hear and know your comfort deeply. And that those that we know that you call us alongside would know that as well. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.